and welcome to a podcast from First Baptist Church of Alpharetta. Our hope is that this message leads you to know Jesus and discover hope as we pursue a Jesus-centered life together. Thanks for listening, and let's jump in.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So glad that you're with us today. High five somebody. They made it to church on Time Change Sunday. Let them know that you're proud of them for getting here. You did it. You did it. I was just telling the chapel services, I greeted them just a minute ago over in the chapel. I was just telling them this. I want you to think about this with me for just a moment. One day, if you know Jesus, you're going to heaven. And there's going to be so many beautiful things about that. I mean, you're going to be before the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You're going to be with everyone who has trusted in Jesus, all the saints who've gone before us, and there'll be no more time change. All right? That's going to happen. It's where we're going, everybody. Well, we want to say welcome to everybody who's coming to us live over there in the chapel and all those who are worshiping online. Put your hands together. Help me welcome in the rest of our church family. We're glad that you guys are here today and a part of worship with us. We do have so much to celebrate. Last Sunday, as part of this whole series, Move Following God to a Place We've Never Been Before, we really challenged everybody to take a next step, to really express that in a next step commitment. And I was just so encouraged last Sunday evening, just reading through all the different responses there and how God is moving in the life of our church, how God is moving in your life. And it's just so powerful to see what God did. And I want to just bring with you just a few things that we saw. How about this? 83 of you, of the hundreds and hundreds that responded, 83 of you said you were really excited and about exploring serving with one of our mission partners, short-term, long-term, thinking about where God is taking you next on that. More than 70 of you said yes to attending a Hickory Flat interest meeting to learn more about our second location that we're launching in the Hickory Flat community later on this year. More than two dozen of you said yes to attending an interest meeting for our Atlanta church plant. We've actually already had several people before yesterday go to interest meetings, and then at least two dozen more say, yeah, I really want to be a part of that as well and really see how God might be moving in my heart and my life towards that as well. But some of my favorites were the places where people filled in the blank. See, at the bottom, it just said this, my next step is, and then there was a blank to fill. If you weren't here, you didn't see that, but that's how it laid out like that. And reading what God led so many of you to put in the blank was so encouraging to me. It's just a sampling. God's leading me to take the next step, to take the job, take the new job, to make the move to the new city, to strengthen the faith of my family, to get into God's word, to give more sacrificially, to walk through this challenge with a greater faith, to get the help that I've needed for a long time. And I can't tell you how many of you put down something like this, to share Jesus with and to put the name of somebody. Could have been a family member, friend, coworker, just to say, I need to share Jesus with that person. And it was just encouraging to see. And as I was reading these, my heart was just so full. Like I almost felt like I could explode to just see a snapshot of what God is doing in our church. Make no mistake about it. God is moving in our midst as he is moving us to take next steps. And if you weren't here last week, you say, man, there's some things I really feel like the Lord is leading me into as well. And I would love for somebody to be praying and helping me take those next steps. Then I would encourage you, but after this service is over, stop by the next steps area, go by the welcome desk. We've got those move cards there. You can fill them out there and you can turn them in right at that very same location. And we'd love to pray for you. We prayed for each and every one of those cards. If it was related to our church, you've either got an email or personal contact with that. We just want to help as you take those next step as God is leading. Come on, let's give God praise for how he's moving the life of our church. It is so exciting to see what he is doing. Well, we are in a series called Move Following God to a Place You've Never Been Before. It's the last week of the series. And to introduce the idea of what I want to talk about here today, I want you to think about something. Any of you have noticed that the 90s and the early 2000s are back? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that they have resurfaced in our midst? Think about this. People are driving Broncos again. Who saw the Bronco making a comeback? But it is back, right? Or think about this. Usher was the halftime performer of the Super Bowl. And some of you are like, oh, Steve, we're in church today. We can't talk about Usher. But I promise you, I know several of you were like, like you were feeling it when it was happening. I know you are. And so like, but this gets back all over again. Some of the 90s fashion is back for better or for worse. Or how about this? Of the top box office grossing movies in the last couple of years, think about the names that are on the Super Mario Brothers, The Little Mermaid, Indiana Jones, Top Gun. I mean, it's like we're just reliving our time. They even made a sequel of Good Burger. Good Burger, everybody. I mean, that's just crazy to me. According to Nielsen ratings, Friends is back in the top 10 of most streamed shows. I mean, we're just kind of coming back around on this. Even the Backstreet Boys are doing laundry detergent commercials, right? I mean, it's all coming back around again. But what if I told you that what we're going to see in the scriptures today as we continue walking through the book of Joshua is that your memories can serve a purpose greater than nostalgia, that your memories can actually serve to fuel your faith. And that's important because last week we talked about taking a step of faith, a kind of a first step for some of us. But the question is, then how do you take the next step after that and the next step after that and the next step after that? How do you walk by faith, especially when you continue to face additional obstacles and things that are coming your way? Your memory actually plays a really big role in that. And I want to show you that today. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Joshua chapter 4 as we continue this series, Move Following God to a Place You've Never Been Before. God reserves the right to pull us out of the routine and to take us into new directions, to introduce us to new things so he can work in our lives like never before. And we're going to see just this one more lesson in Joshua before we get ready for Easter next week, kicking off our Easter series leading up to Easter Sunday. Can't wait for that. And walking through a series called I Was There, examining some different people who were there at the cross, who were there at the resurrection. What did they say? Or what did they see? And what did they say about what they saw? And we're going to look at that over the next few weeks. But before we leave Joshua, there's one more thing I want us to see in Joshua chapter 4. Here's the context. The people have just come out of the Jordan River, which was dry. They didn't have to swim across. They didn't have to wade across. They walked through on dry ground. They're now standing in the promised land. And then God commands them to do something very curious. So we read about it in verse 1. It says this: when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, each tribe a man. Verse 3. And command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet have stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Now, why would God say to them, I need you to take those rocks with you. I need you to go gather up the stones. Because a very simple principle that we need to know, something that you need to be practicing and I need to be practicing in our spiritual lives, that when we see God moving, we need to mark the moment. You need to mark the moment in a particular and intentional way. God is calling them to mark this moment of his moving. Now, we do this kind of naturally as people anyways, don't we? Like I promise you, you've got some of you up in your attic or down in the basement, you've got trophies or you've got medals from past achievements that marked a moment. You've got some things, memorabilia, you've got an old sweatshirt, you got an old t-shirt, you got a poster somewhere that marked a moment in your life. We've got things in our lives that we fail to throw out, things we probably should get rid of, but we don't. Why? Because it marks a moment in our mind. We have a tendency to do this. I do the very same thing as well. In fact, if you were to go to my car right now and go next to the driver's side, here's what you would see. You would see a golf ball that looks just like this. It sits right next to my driver's side seat, always right there. And it's there to mark a particular round of golf that I played. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, you're like, well, why was that day that the first time that you ever broke par, Steve? Was that day the first day that you got a hole in one? I mean, people do their whole lives. Ain't none of that. You're way overestimating my golf game if you think that's what it is. That golf ball is there because it marks the one and only time in my entire life that I've played 9 holes of golf with the same golf ball. The one and only time that has ever happened. See, you may not know this. I'm such a bad golfer that not only do I pay the green fees and the card, that kind of thing, but also I just donate golf balls. I just donate them as I'm there into water hazards and into the woods. I'm just like spreading them like seed as I go out there. I'm the guy people hate to go golfing with because I want to use all of my golf balls and some of yours too when we go there. Like it's a reality for me. But I have that ball there because on the days when I am tempted to say, I hate this game and I am never going to play it again, I can look and I can see that golf ball sitting there in that little cup and I can go, on that day, heaven shined on me.
on that day, I achieved the impossible. And I may have had a score that was just slightly lower than the national debt, but still, I used just one golf ball on the date. If it happened then, I could do it again, right? It marks a moment. It encourages me to keep moving forward. And that's not just something we should do by human nature. It's something we need to actually be intentional to do, spiritually speaking. That when we see God move, when we see God do something in our lives, we really need to be intentional to mark the moment. This isn't just found in Joshua. This is actually found in several other places in Scripture. Abraham, he built altars everywhere he see God was moving so he would remember. Isaac dug wells to make sure that he would mark the places where he saw God's presence and his moving, even in difficult times. We see passages of Scripture, like it says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, where Samuel, the prophet of God, he had just won a giant battle, a major battle against the enemies of God. And he took an enormous rock, and probably with some help, he erected it, stood it up, and he named the rock Ebenezer, which means, I've come this far with your help, O God. By the way, that's where you get the words of that song. Some of you have sang that song your entire life. You didn't even realize, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. That they are markings of the moment. What Joshua is doing happens all across the Scriptures, where we mark the moment and we see God moving in certain ways so that we can look back on it. Now, I want you to see how the people of Israel did this. It says this in verse 4. It says, then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. Verse 5. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone. And notice this, upon his shoulder. Like, this isn't like they just grabbed some pebbles, you know? I just stick something in your pocket as you're coming through. This wasn't like, hey, I get a little rock, you know, something you can kind of remember later on, get yourself a little souvenir. No. He's saying, I want you to get a rock that's so big that it's going to be unmistakable. So big, you got to carry it on your shoulder to come up out of this thing. I need you to get an enormous boulder, and I want you to bring it out with me according to the number of the tribes of Israel. In fact, I want you to get one rock for every tribe so that every person has something to remember this moment. I want you to get it. And then watch what it says here in verse 6, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in a time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. While it was still dry and the waters were still stopped up, he says, go get these rocks, go pull them out, and I want you to build a memorial. I want you to build a monument. I want you to put something out there that's so big that you will stumble upon it. That's something that you will cause you to remember. I want you to build a monument to my faithfulness in your life. Which brings me to this question. What monuments are you building? What monuments are you building in your life to the ways in which you have seen God move in the past? Things that if you were to come and encounter these things, it would cause gratitude to really well up in your life. It would cause worship to begin to well up in your life. Things that when your faith grows thin, you could look back and say, but God moved back then. And if he was faithful then, he will be faithful now. What monuments are you building? Now, I'm going to give you just a few ideas of different monuments that you could build, different things that you could do. These are so simple, so practical. Literally anybody could do these things. The first one is, you might think about this. You might think about just starting a prayer journal. Just a prayer journal. Something so simple. I've done this on and off for several years in my walk with Jesus. And here's what you do when you do this prayer journal. You're writing out your prayers, and you have something to look back to see how God moved, to see how he looked back to how he moved back then, how he's moving still today. This week, it was so awesome. This week, I was reading through my prayer journal. I was looking through some different requests, and I realized something, that a prayer request that I started in February of 2022 came to fruition in March of 2024. Something 2 years later, that God brought an answer to. And it just caused me to stop and to praise God. But if I didn't write it down, I may not have ever remembered it. You see, when you have these things, you start this prayer journal, it's going to give you an opportunity to look back and to retrace God's hand in your life to build a monument. Or here's another one. My wife, this one is I get this idea from her. She actually has a filing system, okay? It's called her Bible. And she puts untold amounts of paper and trinkets and different things inside her Bible. It's gotten to the point, I kid you not, guys, we got stopped at TSA last time we went through the airport, and they were like, what do you have in there? They thought she was trying to sneak contraband through the Atlanta airport because of the amount of stuff that she has logged in her Bible. But I'll tell you why she does that, because she's very faithful to read God's word. Oh, here's my golf ball. Here you go. That way it won't fall again, all right? It's your gift for coming to First Baptist Church Alpharetta today. How about that? But as she is flipping through, she's faithful to read God's word, she can come across and she go, oh, there's that note. I remember what God said. I remember what he did. I remember how he moved. And so she uses and she puts those things right there in the word of God so that she will stumble over them again. It could be as simple as even just having a picture that you put in a frame and put somewhere where you're going to see it. I have one of these in my office. If you were to go to my office here at the church, you would see this. It sits right over my right-hand shoulder. I see it every single day, and it's this picture right here. This is the day that I was ordained, the day that I was set apart to the work of ministry, the day that people said, we see this calling in you, and we're going to pray over you. There's my wife that's in the middle right there. There's my father-in-law, Mike Landry, a great pastor there, and the first pastor I served under, Eric Thomas, as well. And they were there and they're praying over me. And I remember that moment, and I remember have it there so that as I'm sitting at my desk and as I'm doing the work and as I'm getting ready to walk out, I'm about to make the visit, about to share this or do that or lead in this or do that. I remember I've been set apart to this work. I remember the moment that God called me to it. This picture is a reminder. Now, it doesn't really matter how you do it. What's important is that you're intentional to do it. To build some monuments in your life, to build some things that you can look back to remind you of his faithfulness. Martin Luther said this. He said, we only grow in the Christian faith by looking backward. We only grow in the Christian faith by looking backward. And here's what he meant. Write it down in your notes today, that your ability to move forward depends on remembering how God moved in the past. You want to know how you fuel the next step after the first step, and the next step after that, and the next step after that, and the next step after that? You know how you have faith and confidence to keep moving forward into uncharted territory, to places you've never been before? The only way you're going to be able to do that is if you have built strong memories of the past. Here's what we're looking for in this. We're actually trying to build something like a reverse PTSD. You know how PTSD works, right? You have a traumatic experience and then you have a trigger that takes you right back to that traumatic experience, right? What if instead we built kind of like the reverse of that for faith? That you put things in your pathway that would trigger your faith and remind you of God's past faithfulness so that you can walk with a greater confidence today, right? What monuments are we building so that we can continue to walk forward by faith? Now, these next several verses, that's what they do. Verses 8 and following down, you can read about this. They take these stones, they set up this monument, they move out of the water finally, or out of the dry riverbed finally. The priests move out of that riverbed as well. They stand on the promised land, and then they begin to hear the rush of the waters coming in behind them. And the Jordan comes back into place. And the people are looking at Joshua just like they used to look at Moses. Not because Josh was a miracle worker, but he's leading them into experiencing the miracles of God. And then after all these things happened, I want to show you what they did with those rocks. It says this in verse 19. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. Now, this is really important. Let me just give you some details that we see in these two verses right here, because it shows you the power of having a monument like this. Notice with me, it says that they took those stones out and they carried them to Gilgal. What is the significance of Gilgal? Well, it's several miles away from the Jordan River. And so they heaved these stones. They carried them with them several miles away to this little place where they set up their camp. But notice with me, the scriptures tell us that they encamped at Gilgal, which is where? On the east border of Jericho. Jericho is what's next. Jericho's where the walls are going to be at. And they see this thing up on the horizon that looks less like a city and more like an enormous fortress. an impenetrable city, a place that they know that there is no hope in their own strength they could ever conquer. And that is their first challenge now that they have made it across the Jordan and into the promised land. And it is intimidating. But as they look to the horizon and they see the challenge that is ahead, what does Joshua do? He says, take those stones and just set them up right here in the middle of camp. So when people are tempted to look up at those walls that are up ahead, that city that seems so intimidating, that they will remember not to look at the walls, but to look at the stones that we took out of what used to be the waters of the Jordan River. That they would remember the past victory as they approach the coming challenge. That it would spur their faith as they get ready for the next thing that is to come. Because you see, here's the point. Your memories of the past actually fuel your future faith. Your memories of the past actually are fuel for your future faith. When was the last time that you took some space to reflect on what God has done in your life? As I was preparing for this message, and it kind of convicted me, I need to take some time to remind my own soul of what God has done for me. And here's just a few things that I wrote down on my own journey. God, I remember. I remember when I did not have a dollar to put food on the table, gas in the car, or keep a roof over my head. And yet you saw me through then, and you will see me through now. God, I remember when the accident nearly took my daughter's life, when the sickness put my son in the hospital, and when the doctor said there was no hope for the baby. And you saw me then, and you will see me through now. God, I remember when the depression was so dark that it nearly destroyed me, when I felt like I was fighting a losing battle and it nearly defeated me, when all I wanted to do was quit, and yet you saw me then and you will see me through now. You brought clarity to my confusion, power to my weakness, and new life when I was as good as dead. And as I did that, I'm telling you, it fueled my faith. When you take time, do you remember who God has been in your life? It reminds you of who he still is today. He didn't save you back then to leave you now. He didn't do the miracle back then to leave you now. And our memories should fuel our faith for what we see now and what we're walking to into the future. But not just your faith and my faith, but the faith of others as well. Look at what happens next in the scriptures. It says this in verse 21. It says, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. Verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord your God is mighty and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Joshua is envisioning a time to come, a conversation that will happen in the future. He's envisioning a time when there will be maybe a dad walking down the pathway. And as he is walking along, they'll come across these stones and he'll have his child with him. And the child will see those stones and will immediately realize these stones are out of place. They don't look like anything else. They don't look like they belong here. How did these stones get here? And because kids are inquisitive, then he'll look back up at his dad and they'll say, how did these, what's the deal? What's the stones for? I don't understand. How did they get here? And it would give the father an opportunity in that moment to say, son, let me tell you a story. See, we used to live in the wilderness and this place was not our home. And we really believed that God wanted to take us into a promised land, but there was a flooded river in our way. And there was no way we could have possibly crossed it on our own. And yet, son, let me tell you what God did. He dried up that Jordan River. The Jordan River? The Jordan River. Dried it up bone dry. And me and your mom and others, we walked right through to the other side and the waters fell back into place. And if you think that's amazing, let me tell you what God did for your grandparents at the Red Sea. You see, these monuments, they not only are there to encourage our faith, but it gives us an excuse to talk about the faithfulness of God to others. And it's important because someone else needs the story of your faith to encourage their faith. Somebody else needs the story of your faith to encourage their faith. You know, maybe there's somebody who you know who is a believer in Jesus Christ, but they're struggling right now. They're in a difficult spot. They're facing something that's really, really hard. And it just may be that the story of what God has done in your life is something they need to hear to encourage them that maybe God, if he did it for you, could do it for them as well. Maybe there's somebody in your life that is yet to believe in Jesus Christ. Somebody who's yet to believe that faith is actually real and actually makes a difference. Because they've never heard the story of somebody for whom faith was real and it really made a difference. And maybe it's that that person needs to hear your story so that they can believe and trust Jesus. Someone else needs to hear your story so they can encourage their faith as well. Recently, in the last couple of years, I came across a story, somebody else's story, that greatly encouraged my faith. And I want to share it with you here. I'm going to show you this picture. This is a picture of a guy named Alex. I met him 2 years ago. I was speaking at a Disciple Now in Decatur, Alabama. And there's all these students there and guys doing a great work and doing great things. And then I met this guy, sophomore in high school, athlete, leader. You know, some people you just kind of meet and you just know immediately that guy's got a lot of potential right there. And I'm having this conversation. I'm learning about what he does. He's already playing varsity ball as a sophomore, that kind of thing. He's already doing a lot of things. But the most important thing about Alex is that he loved Jesus. A very real and very authentic faith. A faith that was an example to all the other students in that student ministry over the course of that weekend. I'm spending time and I'm talking with Alex. And it was encouraging to meet him. And it was even more encouraging when I met his dad. His dad's the pastor of that church. Central Baptist Church in Decatur, Alabama. His dad's name is Rob. Talked to Rob about his son, Alex. Man, your son just seems so full of faith. Oh, yeah, and I absolutely am so proud of him. And I heard a little bit more about Rob's story and how he came to pastor that church and what God was doing in that church and encouraged me even more. But then as I was talking to Rob, I heard the story of how he grew up. He said, Rob, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. In fact, I'm not the first person in ministry in our family. My dad was in ministry as well. Really? Tell me about that. So my dad's name was Bob. He served as the music minister at Dawson Memorial Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Forget this, 36 years. 36 years he was the music minister at Dawson Memorial. And actually, when he went to retire after 36 years, he said, can I stay on as the senior adult minister? Y'all didn't have to pay me. I just want to continue doing this, right? It's incredible. And then as I was hearing more and more of this story, from Alex and his dad, Rob, and his dad, Bob, what I discovered is that Bob was not the first person in ministry as well. That actually, Bob had a father that was in ministry. Rob's grandfather, Alex's great-grandfather. He was the pastor of this church, Alpharetta First Baptist Church, for 20 years. A.B. Hatfield. In fact, today, as you're here in this auditorium, the honorary name of this auditorium is the Hatfield Auditorium, named for him. Let me tell you what that did. I've never met A.B. Hatfield. He passed away before I came to pastor here. But I got to see something so much more powerful than a building. I got to see something so much more powerful than a church history. I got to see the legacy of him in his great-grandson. And it was a powerful testimony, a monument of his faithfulness of God, that he would love God in such a way that his son would also love God, that his grandson would also love God, that his great-grandson would also love the Lord as well. And it encouraged me. Because sometimes I wonder, can faith really pass from generation to generation? The answer is yes. Sometimes I wonder, is it really possible for God to move now like he did four generations ago? And the answer, according to this picture, is yes. Yes. It's a monument of God's faithfulness. And we need to be sharing stories like that with other people so their faith can be encouraged as well. And by the way, when you share your story, it's really not about you. Any stories I share are really not about me. It's not meant to build us up or to make us look good, but rather to point to the one who's been so faithful to us. I love how Dr. Robert Smith puts it. He said this, we are to live our lives not as monuments that give us notoriety, but rather as memorials that magnify Christ for what he has done for us. That's who we're supposed to be. shining the light of who he's done to others. But there's one more little detail I want to share with you in this passage, because God is so intentional, and so often he does work in the details of his word. One more thing that points backwards to encourage the people of God at this moment as they're coming out of the Jordan River. Look back at verse 19 with me. I want to show you this. It says this: the people came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. If you read through the scriptures, one thing that you will find, especially in the Old Testament, is they mark the day. They always tell you. It was, oh yeah, this happened on the third day of the sixth month. Oh yeah, this happened on the 10th day of the 15th month, or whatever it is, right? I mean, they have all these different things. Why? Why does it say on here, the 10th day of the first month? The people of Israel, this would not have been lost on them. They would have known immediately the significance of this, that this was a date and a time that was special. They came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. And what makes that significant was because on the 10th day of the first month was back when they were in Egypt. And back when God was getting ready to liberate them and to set them free, what happened on that day? God came to the people through his servant Moses. And he said, take a lamb. What I want you to do with that lamb is I want you to sacrifice and take the blood of it. And I want you to put it on the doorposts. Because see, I'm getting ready to pass over. I'm getting ready to deliver you. I'm getting ready to take you out. By this sacrifice, I will move you into a new and a free life. So fast forward to this moment, on the 10th day of the first month that they're coming out, they realize, wow, just as God delivered us back then, look at what he's doing now. He's delivering us now to a new life, to a new hope, to a new future. Oh, but it gets better than that. Because it was on the 10th day of the first month that there was a man named Jesus, falsely accused, put on trial, sentenced to die, and hung upon a cross. And when did it happen, everybody? The 10th day of the first month. It's intentional. Why does God do things like that in his word? Why does he show us things like that in his word? It's because he's trying to show you, I've got this. I've got a plan. And I've been working it since before the beginnings of the foundation of time. I am moving. And just as I moved back in Egypt, and just as I moved at the Jordan, and just as I moved through the cross of Jesus Christ, I am still moving today. You can trust me. I will continue to be faithful. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget who I am, what I've done, so that as you continue to move forward, you'll see I can move now through anything, into the future through everything. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes with me today? And I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at, however God has been leading you to take a next step, and we've been talking about that so much over the last several weeks, I want to encourage you to take some time to begin writing down, to begin putting things in your way to encourage your faith as you move forward. You're going to need it. As you take next steps of faith and follow through on these commitments, there are going to be moments where it gets harder, difficult, challenging, confusing, and you're going to need things that spark your faith. So maybe as you're praying, maybe you just need to begin recounting the things that God has done in the past, remembering who he is, who he has been. Begin locking those things in and thanking God for what he's done in the past. Others of you here today, and maybe for you, faith is somewhat of a new concept or something you're coming back to after a long time. And you would not be a person who would say today that I have a relationship with God. I know about who he is, but I don't know that I've ever gone fully all in on this thing you've been exploring. But maybe now, today, is where you need to take your first step of faith to begin the journey of God's faithfulness. Here's the thing that you need to know. God loves you. He's already, as I just mentioned, died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin. 3 days later, he rose from the grave as we're getting ready to celebrate an Easter to give you a new hope and a new life. If you're here today and you know you need to begin that relationship with him, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. There's not a bunch of prerequisites, not a things you got to do before you can come to Jesus. You don't have to clean up your life to get to him. No, he wants you just as you are right here, right now, today. And if you're ready to know him, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, whether you're here in the auditorium, in the chapel, or watching online today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. The words of this prayer, they're not magical. It's not a repeat after me moment. It's not a religious moment, a ritualistic moment. No, this is a relationship moment. Use these words to begin to express your heart, to say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be all in having a relationship with you. If you're ready to take that step, why don't you take these words, I pray them out loud, pray them silently wherever you're at today to begin that relationship with him. Pray this or something like it. God, I thank you for hearing my prayer in this moment. And I just want you to know that I really believe in you. I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins and mistakes. I believe, Jesus, that you rose from the grave, that you are alive today so that I could have new life. And I ask for your forgiveness of my sins. And I surrender my life into your hands. And I want to follow you. Help me to know you. And know what it means to have a relationship with you. I thank you for hearing my prayer and for saving me. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, look right up here at me. Today, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time that it was genuine in your life, what I want to do is I want to encourage you in that. And not just me, but other people, other pastors and leaders here in our church, we want to encourage you in that. But we can't do that unless you let us know about the decision that you've made. So please let us know either by coming up, talking with one of the pastors during this next song. If you're online, go on fbca.com/hope. Or after this service is over, come by the Next Steps area here or in the chapel and let us know the decision that you've made. We want to encourage you and pray for you today. Maybe it's not that. Maybe you got something else going on in your life. Another step that God's calling you to take. Maybe you weren't here last week and you didn't get a chance to make a commitment. You can today at our Next Steps area. But whatever God is doing, however he's stirring your life, don't walk out the door before you take a next step towards getting with somebody here in our church who can help you, pray for you, and encourage you along the way. And for all of us, let's make sure that we're intentional to build these monuments towards God's faithfulness in the past, to mark these moments so that our faith might be encouraged as we walk into the future, so that our faith might be an encouragement to other people around us as they consider what their future looks like as well. Pray with me once more. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much that you have given us this clear model in Scripture, this clear calling in Scripture to remember. And Lord, we want to do that faithfully before you today. And so God, as we move from here and we take steps back into our life, Lord, help us to set up little altars. Help us to set up stones. Help us to set up things that are going to remind us, Lord, of who you are and what you've done so that it would compel us to continue moving forward in the things that you're calling us to today. And I pray that you would give us all boldness, God, to share our story with other people who need to hear it as well, that they might follow you, know you, and live for you, God. We love you. We praise you. And we thank you for this word today and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. You can find your next steps and learn more online at fbca.com.